The world has fundamentally changed, and there is no turning back.
But what if the president isn't the president? What if some other group, unelected, is calling the shots that the American people have not said yes to, they haven't signed off on, and yet this group, this elite, believes that it has the authority to rule?
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with a longtime ministry friend, Bill Koenig. They discuss many issues, including the push to vaccinate everyone, the invasion of privacy, government overreach, and more. We believe these are indicators of the lateness of the hour. Here is today's programming.
What we want to talk about is how the world has been fundamentally changed. We have a lot of people, even in Christianity and our society, who are in denial that the world has fundamentally changed. It has, and we're going to talk about that today. But the thing about it is, a lot of people who are not willing to understand prophetically what's happening, they put themselves in denial, they pretend it's not happening, and that hurts them spiritually. As prophecy students, prophecy is there to prepare us, to create an urgency in us, to create righteousness and morality in us. So if people, Christians in particular, think that we're going to get past all this and then we're going to return back to normal, they have a rude awakening coming. It's not ever going to return back to normal. We are in the last days. And that means every day, every week, every month, every year, as we get closer and closer to the tribulation, things are going to fundamentally change. Like I've always said, we could be raptured at any point in time. But think of how much we have seen now. Think of how much in the last 2 years we have seen, even in America and around the world, how things have fundamentally changed. The reason for it is because of prophecy. God is allowing evil to do what it wants to do so that eventually God will judge evil in the tribulation. So this is why we've seen the world change. This is why we've seen the church be revealed for what's going on. Now we understand in the church that there's a remnant element, and then there's a Laodicean element, and then there's an apostate element. There's false teachings everywhere. So we now see that.
Well, I'm so glad you could join Understanding the Times Radio today. That was Pastor Brandon Holthouse. And I played that clip because I felt he set the stage for the discussion I'm going to have for an hour. And my guest today says that we are heading into some months here in 2021 and even into the next year that are going to be filled with turmoil. He says even unimaginable turmoil. And the hour today is not to scare you, but is to prepare you, because we always remember that God is orchestrating events so that eventually they fall into place according to, well, his predicted plan outlined in the Bible. And as I often say, everything is falling into place. Nothing's falling apart. All the pieces are falling into place. And that's a comfort that the believer has today. We've been provided the roadmap to the final days where we know where they're headed, who the players are, the timeline, and more. And we may not have the details, but we can trust that God does and that his hand is moving the players on the chessboard. Bill Koenig, my guest for the hour, has served almost 20 years in the White House Press Corps. That's no small assignment in that he was just one of a few conservative Bible-believing Christians serving there. And he's written a couple of books. We'll talk about them throughout the hour. And heads up that this program, due to the sensitive nature of some topics, will not be posted to YouTube, as it would be censored or taken down. So if you want to watch the video version, find it under Rumble. On our website, olivetreeviews.org, it's at one place's light source. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always a pleasure to be with you.
You have been in Washington for a lot of years now, and you and I have worked together since 2002. And when we recently spoke, I asked you who you think it is who is really running the country. And you said it is not Mr. Biden, and he's but a puppet. You said to me there's probably a shadow government. Why don't you talk to me about that? Who would this be? Barack Obama, the Soros Empire, the World Economic Forum, all of those?
Yeah, I think all of the above. When you look at Obama's 8 years, life as we know it on this planet changed. Then there was a four-year reprieve with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately from the day that Biden was inaugurated, and I even understand, I haven't been able to confirm it, that Obama gave Biden 50 executive orders that he should implement and put in place as soon as possible. And it was like one after another
yes.
for a couple of weeks. A lot of those are just Obama 2.0 extension of what he was doing during his 8 years. The World Economic Forum, their significant role. You had great programs on the Great Reset, the eventual reset. George Soros, we hear of all these district attorneys and other attorneys around the country that have been funded and put in place by him. His influence through his billions of dollars, this socialist slash Marxist agenda has been implemented by him and his cronies. Yeah, I think all have had a significant influence on the Biden administration, on Susan Rice,
yes.
and a few other people that are putting this in place for Obama and these globalists.
Well, the World Economic Forum is going to act at some point. Whether or not the church is here or not, I don't think we know. Bill, let me just change direction just a little bit, but I'm really not changing the stream here because Mark Levin has come out with an incredible new book. It's American Marxism, and I'm just reading a review here, just a couple of paragraphs. And I want you to comment because the review says this. Blaze TV host Mark Levin, in his new book, American Marxism, provides proof that we're not just facing a coming Marxist revolution. It's already here. Many Americans remain unconvinced, believing recent moves from the far left and the Democrat Party are just passing phases. But this is not a fad, Levin told Glenn Beck on a radio program recently. And then they say this, isn't progressivism or democratic socialism. This is Levin and Beck speaking. This is Marxism. Now, it may not be Marxism in every particular, but it's an Americanized form of Marxism, Mark Levin explained. I think you would agree with that. And again, this goes back to what you just said about the Obama team and the passing the baton to the Biden team. And it's really Marxism 101. Am I right?
Absolutely. Just think, Jan, if we weren't fighting this, this would happen so quick and be put in place so quick. And the other thing is they've been at this for 25, 30 years. This isn't just an overnight thing. They've been at this. They've put a tremendous amount of resources in place. They put people in school boards and
yes.
small governments around the country that have had an enormous influence on our education. And look at the fact a conservative voice cannot go to many of our major universities in the United States because if they are invited, they have to have heavy-duty security. And many times when they were invited, the uproar was so significant, they had to cancel the event.
Yes.
They don't want our voice. And when you look at mainstream media's role in putting everything in place that they've had over the last 25, 30 years, this is a movement. And if it wasn't for evangelicals
yeah.
and Christians and your program and Family Research Council and others that are standing up against this, it would be done.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And it's still a battle, James.
It's still a battle. And you and I have talked a bit, and we remark how fast it has happened. And Donald Trump was in the way of their agenda, clearly, and they went to stunning efforts to get him out of office. And you were on air with me right after the 2020 election, and we were talking about, back then, the Dominion voting machines. Tell me, how do you see future elections playing out? I mean, I hear so much optimism and we're going to have a red tsunami and everything, but if the voting issue is going to continue as it did in 2020, I'm not so optimistic.
There's a tremendous amount of effort being put in place. First of all, I think Sidney Powell phrased it the best way. When she was talking about Trump and the election, the outcome of the election, she said the globalists have trillions, not billions,
yeah.
trillions of dollars at stake, and Trump must go. Whatever that took. And I think of Steve Bannon in his pandemic war room has done a
yeah.
great job of following the audits that are taking place in Arizona, what's going to take place very possibly in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. These audits are fulfilled, just the audits. That's the ground game, as Bannon calls it. And then Mike Lindell with his air
yeah.
game, looking at the voting. He says he has the packets. He has where they were sent, how they were handled in second week in August in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, he's going to present it. So the fact is, Jan, we have an opportunity to put things in place. If, in fact, Biden drops under 270 and Trump actually goes above 270 and these four or five states decertify their election and then certify it for Trump, what's that do? We're at an area we've never been constitutionally. Through this process, they're talking about now possibly taking audits to all 50 states. The process between now and the midterm election in 2022, a lot of work has to be done to make sure that it's a fair and honest election. The Republicans, that's all we want, a fair and honest election. It seems like the Democrats are the opposite. I hate to put it that way. I have family members that are very active in the Democratic Party, but it's not the party
It's not what they knew a few years ago.
No, not at all.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, folks. Jan Markell here. If you'd like to get more acquainted with Bill Koenig, who again served in the White House press corps a number of years, actually Bill's been at my conference almost more than any other speaker because of some of the very cutting-edge insights he's had into what's going on in our nation's capital. Just going to play a real quick soundbite here. This happens to be Dinesh D'Souza, and he's asking, do we have a crisis of democracy? I think so.
I think that we are in, you may almost call it an unrecognized crisis of democracy. It's a crisis of democracy because the democracy we have seems to be fatally flawed, at least by the simple fact that we have unelected leaders who are making decisions for us. Let's remember that autocracies frequently wear the camouflage of democracy. Even in Iran, they call themselves the People's Republic of Iran. Democracy is a sham, but they go through the motions. East Germany was a German Democratic Republic, the GDR. They went through the motion. So is America moving toward a situation, not only with Biden, the president, but also with efforts to change laws and put new procedures, H.R. 1 and others in place, that would create a false democracy, the outward impression of democracy, but with token opposition, a single party ruling, picking its own, this guy's going to be the president, this one's going to be the vice president, this year it's going to be Biden and it's going to be Harris, next year it'll be Harris and the next person we pick. But who's the we that's doing the picking?
Bill, I'm just changing direction here for just a minute because as you and I discuss things, I was so troubled with the fact that recently government sources have revealed that they're going to be fact-checking some social media as it concerns issues like COVID and the vaccines. And folks, we're heading to a discussion on COVID and the vaccines here in just a minute or two. And they're even going to be checking text messages. Now, Bill, you've operated out of Washington for over 20 years. And let me just ask you this. Did you ever expect to see the attack on free speech and other freedoms as well as stark as it is here more recently?
No, never thought it possible. Never thought it possible. Mm-hmm. After 8 years of Bush and then being at the White House for 8 years and my book revealed Obama's legacy, I go into details about how they changed things based on a Saul Alinsky platform, create chaos, division, as Rahm Emanuel would say, former chief of staff. Never miss one of these opportunities that chaos creates. But what happened, Jan, with Obama, the day that he got inaugurated, he put the LGBT agenda on the White House website as he's being sworn in and had to water it down later because it was so radical. What that did is it moved speech. Like if you said anything against LGBT and Q or Islam, it was considered hate speech. And then the social platforms, their mainstream media, members of the Democratic Party, anytime you said anything against those two, that was considered hate speech, and they kept pouring it on to the point that free speech, as mentioned earlier, on college campuses and around the country, it was squelched and stopped, completely discounted. So that's when hate speech moved into a position of influence. I mean, who's going to determine what information and what's real, what's false?
Well, do we have to think twice before we send a text message to some family member or pick up a gallon of milk because maybe that's going to be overseen by somebody, and we're going to end up in a jail cell?
It's moving in that direction.
It is. It's moving in that direction. That's why I'm raising it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're asking for some spine and some strength in the GOP, the Republicans in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, when you don't control the House, the Senate, and the White House, or the mainstream media, or the social networks, that's a very formidable foe. But it's being raised right now. Here's a pretty good example. Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the best, well-respected cardiologists in America, who's been on the front line of the COVID matter, says that they have documented excessive deaths that the CDC is not revealing. And he said, we and my team of doctors from around the world can't sit down and explain to the CDC or the FDA our concerns about the mRNA vaccines. They don't want our information. They will not give us the opportunity to share this information. That misinformation is incredible by itself. It's going to be a battle, Jan, and in some of these cases will probably get to the Supreme Court, and hopefully the right decision will be made. But this is a battle like you and I could have never imagined.
Yeah, and I think that's my point here. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about Bill and his outreach, particularly now his web outreach, his books, etc., go to watch.org on the web, watches and watchmen, watch.org, and I'll say more about his books. We carried them for a number of years. They're excellent. Obama's Legacy and Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And you can get those at watch.org. But Bill, I'm heading down a little different alleyway because you just raised it. I want to take advantage of that. And to do that, I want to play a clip very soon here. As a matter of fact, as we speak, we've got government agencies actually going door to door trying to coax folks who aren't getting the vaccine to take the vaccine. This hour is not you and I giving medical advice. We can't do that, Bill. But we are sounding alarm that we've got government out of control. Now we've got government going door to door trying to convince non-vaccine people to take the vaccine.
CNBC's Valerie Castro tagged along with a group in Philly that's been canvassing entire neighborhoods trying to get more people vaccinated. Valerie's with us in studio tonight. So you tagged along. How does it seem to be working?
Well, Shep, in Philadelphia, almost 56% of adults are fully vaccinated and more than 70% have gotten at least one dose. Part of the success comes from the work of Philly Counts. That's a city agency that is visiting neighborhoods, sometimes as many as three times each, to encourage every resident to get the shot.
Maybe today I'll get all the doors.
Door to door and block to block.
No one's home.
Workers with Philly Counts, the city agency once tasked with counting people for the 2020 census, now counts down to a different goal.
To us, success would be that everybody gets vaccinated, but I think that we're working towards that.
Director of Neighborhood Engagement Hassan Freeman says the outreach starts with trust.
You got to build a relationship, right? It's about building relationships. It's about connecting with the communities.
He connects by sharing his own story.
My son was a liver transplant recipient. And when I caught COVID, I understood that the responsibility wasn't just for me, right? It was for him.
One of the challenges, combating misinformation.
Cerebral palsy, we're hearing a magnet, we're hearing it affects your DNA.
The agency stresses they are not doctors, but partner with the medical community to provide resources. Alicia Rollins-Mays also works on outreach.
I tell them my story, how I got vaccinated. I share that, and then I say, just do your research, get the information for yourself, and then you make an informed decision.
A vaccinated resident like 49-year-old Geraldine Hill.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear.
Is another count towards the goal.
And I'm happy I got it.
Yeah, how do you feel now?
I feel good.
But the real aim, to track down people like 65-year-old Deborah Thomas, who struggles with severe asthma.
I'm going to have to get it because I have asthma real bad. And these trees and everything messes with me.
Why do you think you haven't gotten it yet?
I don't know. I'm just leery, you know, because maybe I need to find out more information about it.
Even though she now has that information in her hand, it doesn't stop there. Philly Counts will follow up with phone calls, text messages, and even repeat visits to the neighborhood.
I don't think we ever thought we'd see this in our lifetime either, Bill Koenig, honestly.
No, absolutely, Jan. I've read a couple of the directives of some of the counties around the country, and you can't even believe what you're reading in terms of what they're telling them to do, how to be aggressive, the questions to ask, to try to develop a bond. And I've been following this since January and February of last year, all the way from the Wuhan lab. I was hopeful, especially when they did this emergency authorization approval with the mRNA, that some things would come out about the vaccine, which I am on monthly calls with doctors from around the world on the concerns that they have about the mRNA vaccine. Mm-hmm. And what's happening now, Jan, is people that are fully vaccinated now are coming down with COVID with this new Delta variant, which now is over 90% of our new cases in the United States. I'm just hopeful that more and more will come out that these things aren't that effective. And what's interesting is Pfizer's already wanting a booster shot, and the FDA and CDC are saying, hey, wait a second, we need to know more first. And the other thing in Israel, we've watched Israel's been a test lab for the Pfizer vaccine when you have 50 or 60% effective now in Israel with the vaccine, and people that have had the vaccine are now coming down with COVID, and they've had some autoimmune concerns.
Right.
So one last note here.
Yeah.
Dr. McCullough is perplexed by the fact that people within the medical community have jumped on this train and gone with it, and even using their years of experience in medicine to not challenge this baffles him and worries him.
I just want to read a paragraph from independent journalist Leo Homan here, who's going to quote John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. But Homan says, if you are among the millions who fear the vax more than the virus, which is your right, what is the best way to deal with federal agent who arrives at your door trying to persuade you otherwise? And Homan says, I sought the advice of several constitutional attorneys about these folks coming door to door. And then he goes to John Whitehead, his founder and president of Rutherford Institute, has been litigating civil rights for many, many years. Whitehead says they're there for one reason, to collect information, and that can't be good for you. They could get that information by questioning you directly or by asking your neighbors to snitch on you. And it goes on to say data collection is out of control. Google, Amazon, Facebook are all collecting personal information on their users, and they are working with governments of the world on this, Whitehead says. So we have to be really careful, because the government doesn't have a good record on how they could use the data they collect. Here's the point. Whitehead advises people to place no trespassing signs at all entry points to their property. You simply ask them to leave, says Mr. Whitehead. You are under no obligation to answer any of their questions, Bill.
That's exactly right. I've heard the same thing. Jan, that's an excellent example, and he certainly knows through his history of dealing with these issues. I've even heard in a couple of the counties in Texas, the sheriffs have said, if anybody comes to your door, you contact us, we'll come out and have them leave. But that no trespassing sign is the perfect way to go.
And the sentiment is going to be that you don't care about your neighbor if you don't follow the line here, get the vaccine and allow your texts to be checked, etc. If you don't toe this line, you're endangering the lives of other people. That's not the way we see it. Let's leave it at that.
That is definitely the spin, and unfortunate. They're going to blame us as the one that's putting other people's lives at risk.
Yeah, just another couple of sentences here. Whitehead, again, it's a form of intimidation. Most people are fearful, and so they will say, okay, what do you need to know? And he says, I wouldn't answer any questions you are uncomfortable in answering. This again, folks, when they come to your door and want to do some of these things and get your vaccine history, etc., he says, most are fearful. So they're going to say, whatever you need, I'm willing to give you. And he says, I wouldn't answer any question you are uncomfortable in answering about your vaccine history or anything else. The more you give them, the more it will be used against you. And again, he concludes, I advocate not saying anything to them. Just ask them politely but firmly to leave. I think we've said as much as we can say there, Bill. But again, several states, they're already now going door to door. Arm twisting, if you haven't had the vaccine, you must, and here's what you do. We're just sending a warning that that might not be the best to follow those instructions.
Yes.
One other question here before I take my midpoint break. And you said to me, watch Europe. That's what America will look like after the rapture of the church. What did you mean by that?
Jan, I stay in touch with ministry friends in about 5 countries throughout Europe. I am just so compassionate for what they're having to go through. They have 1-5% at best of Christians in any one of those countries. And what we are watching quickly is the common pass, the digital passport, the World Economic Forum's common pass. And I haven't confirmed this yet, but I heard it a couple days ago that Boris Johnson's cell phone warned him that he had just been in contact with someone with COVID and he went into a quarantine just based on the fact his cell phone said he was near somebody. We have that on our Apple phones and probably on the Google phones, Android phones as well. They are developing this infrastructure, and there's no one to stand up against it throughout Europe. We're battling all this that we've discussed today. So if you want to watch what life in America will be like after born-again believers are taken away, watch Europe And watch how fast Macron,
yes,
and what Boris Johnson's doing now with his new wife, who was very involved with the Clinton Global Initiative, the influence that she's had on him, Germany, the infrastructure of the future police state and the Great Reset state is being implemented and put in place right now as we speak in Europe, and I'm watching it very, very closely. And at the same time, very compassionate for our believing friends that are having to stand up against this and not being listened to.
Very well said, Bill, and I'm very concerned, particularly in France. Mr. Macron has turned into a dictator, and I'm just shocked by some of the ground rules he's laying down. Again, it gets back to the vaccine, and you can't do this, you can't go here. Possibly you're not even going to be able to lead any kind of a normal life in France if you're not vaccinated. It should be terrifying in the natural. God is in control, and he's allowing these things to happen for his end time purposes. Folks, let me just give a couple of quick announcements, and then I'm going to take a short break and come back, and we're going to continue on in our discussion here with Bill Koenig and how, my goodness, what in the world is going on? Some incredible things. Quick heads up here that Olive Tree and yours truly are being misrepresented on social media and particularly on YouTube by some outfit in China. So when you see these programs online, would you just ignore them, please? We're not posting them. They may be asking for money, which we don't do online. So just ignore these phony postings, if you would, please. And secondly, we're going to start to have every other month Understanding the Times events headquartering here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that will be live streamed to my national audience. And the first of those evening events will be Thursday, August the 12th. We'll be gathering at Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m., no cost to attend, and I'll be having an in-person dialogue with former U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and it'll go approximately 7 to 9 p.m. To live stream this event on the evening of Thursday, August the 12th, go to my homepage, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org for streaming instructions. Again, Thursday, August 12th. You can contact Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. We're not going to ticket this. In the future, they may be ticketed. This is first come, first serve, the evening of August the 12th. But anyone can stream at no cost that particular evening. Come to my website, olivetreeviews.org, that day for the instructions. I'm back in just a minute or two. We're going to continue with former White House correspondent Bill Koenig talking about how our times are changing. How do we cope with everything that's coming down the pike, staring us in the face? Can we always remember that God is in control and prayer changes things? Back in just a minute.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. The world is drowning in bad news, so why not plug into some of the best news there is? Understand the splendor that awaits you in eternity by reading a new book by Dr. Ed Heinsohn, Future Glory, Living in the Hope of the Rapture, Heaven and Eternity. Bible promises a glorious new era that is rapidly approaching. Learn about our rewards, our participation in Jesus' triumphal return, and our eternal glory in heaven. As a believer, you can trust that a wonderful future awaits you. It is free of strife, pain, disappointment, and tears. It is the essence of perfection. Order in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. by calling our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or by getting our print or e-newsletter. Sign up online. Rejoice in what God has prepared for you.
This obsession of getting jabs in people's arms, for whatever reason, we just got to get a jab in their arm. That's what we don't trust, and we don't trust the individuals that are involved. And I tell you, Jan, it's going to keep building, and we're going to become more and more to blame. We're doing everything we can to put the truth out, but the fact is, unfortunately, we're outnumbered.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so just remember that our programming is posted to our website in both its audio and video format. Just go to olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, and then to radio. You can also find us on YouTube, Rumble, LightSource, and His Channel. Now here are Jan Markell and Bill Koenig to wrap up today's program.
Despite what seems like overwhelming demand to book a vaccine appointment, not everyone wants to get the shot. And new research has found that the biggest group not wanting it is white evangelicals.
My biggest worry is that if they don't get on board, that it's going to prolong this continuation of the pandemic.
45% of evangelicals say they will not get vaccinated against COVID-19, according to the Pew Research Center. That's about 41 million adult Americans. Local evangelical leader Jamie Ayton knows why.
Some of it has been a distrust of science, misinformation, and then also political reasons.
He is trying to change that. He is the founder of the Humanitarian Disaster Institute at Wheaton College.
We really need everyone taking this serious and doing what we can to not only protect ourselves, but to protect our neighbors.
Ayton and a fellow leader have started a change.org petition to encourage evangelicals to get the shot.
I view science as something that God gave us to be able to understand the world around us, and that he's working through this science so that we can get vaccinated to be able to show love to those that are hurting.
The World Health Organization has named vaccine hesitancy as one of the top 10 threats to global health.
Oh my goodness, it is all our fault. Welcome back. I played that little clip intentionally because that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's the fault of Christians that the world is falling apart. We're not cooperating, etc. I have for the hour Bill Koenig. You've heard him on the program numerous times. You can learn more at his website, watch.org. You can sign up for his weekly e-newsletter, and I'm drawing a lot of talking points from his e-newsletter, and that is by subscription. It's really very inexpensive and well worth the information. He served in the White House press corps a number of years, almost 20 years, and has had extremely cutting-edge insights into what on earth is happening in our nation's capital. And I have to say, as we're airing this program, we're continuing to ask what on earth is happening in our nation's capital, because it's affecting not only every man, woman, and child in America, it's affecting everybody in the entire world. But Bill Koenig, did you ever think that, let's just put it this way, a hesitancy to take the vaccine on the part of about 30 to 40% of Americans, for various reasons, they're hesitating on the vaccine, perhaps because it's experimental, perhaps because we're learning that so many are coming down with COVID, even with the vaccine. But whatever the reason, people are hesitant to take it, some anyway. But the blame, it's all our fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's those of us who are preaching the gospel. And that's going to get extended further by the Biden administration, and you and I have talked about it, and give me your perspective.
Without a doubt, Jan, what's taking place is part of this "we hate evangelicals" of the Obama / Biden administrations. This is a frontal attack. It's not wise for people to take an experimental product, even though there are some Christian leaders that support it, but it's now proving that the vaccine is no guarantee that you won't get COVID. The hospitalization and the ICU numbers are down, but we aren't aware of the autoimmune problems that these vaccines can produce long term. So this is our sound thinking. Again, this is part of the isolation of us Christians that process things. And at the same time, this is backed by Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, and the globalist in Tony Fauci. And a lot of that's being exposed right now, too. So why should we trust it?
How far do you think they'll go with the persecution card? Because they're going to play off of what we're talking about here, and that is many evangelicals are hesitant on the vaccine. Certainly not all, but many are hesitant for reasons. And folks, hopefully next week I'll bring Twyla Brace of Citizens Council for Health Freedom back in here, and we can expand the discussion from a more medical angle, Bill and I are not medical experts. We're just reporting on the news. And the news is that some 30 to 40% of Americans are hesitating on the vaccine for a lot of reasons. My question, though, is, Bill, how much persecution's coming our way because we may just be asking some very common sense questions about the vaccine? We're not being anti-government. We're not being anti-anything. We're just being cautious.
Oh, it's building, Jan, and you and I have seen it throughout this summer and into the fall. It's building, and it's very worrisome. What's going to happen is, let me put it this way, we don't control the social networks. We don't control mainstream media. And they are putting out propaganda day in, day out, and they are starting to point the fingers at us. There's going to be someone to blame. This is going to be part of the very divisive nature of what's going to happen the rest of this summer and into the fall on mask wearing, on forced vaccinations for children. It's like Dr. McCullough says, anybody under 50, he really questions the need. Well, he doesn't question. He says there is really no need to vaccinate. I'm kind of putting words in his mouth, but he's been on TV many times on Fox. But when you talk about putting experimental jabs in children's arms that have a 99.9% tolerance to COVID, then this is another agenda. And that's what really burdened, again, as I shared in the first half hour, is Dr. McCullough's concern and this obsession of getting jabs in people's arms for whatever reason. We just got to get a jab in their arm. That's what we don't trust, and we don't trust the individuals that are involved. And I tell you, Jan, it's going to keep building, and we're going to become more and more to blame. We're doing everything we can to put the truth out, but the fact is, unfortunately, we're outnumbered.
Yeah, I think that's what it gets down to, is we're so terribly, terribly outnumbered. I think that's absolutely right, Bill. Let me just go down a little bit different path here. And I had an outline in front of me, Bill, and I quite frankly had about 10, 15 pages of notes that I'm trying to get concise here so that we can hit a lot of topics. And in your newsletter recently, and you've been writing extensively about the radical, the LGBTQ activists in the White House. And of course, this is nothing new. And you say, as I wrote in Revealed, Obama's Legacy, you say America will never recover from the 8 years of damage Barack Obama initiated and carried out, and that has only been accelerated under Mr. Biden. And then you say, in Obama's last year in office, he and his Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, forced transgenderism education on schools across America. They filed lawsuits or threatened lawsuits where school boards didn't comply. And then you say Obama and Biden's LGBTQ agendas have led to massive division within the military, education institutions, big business, the church, and the Boy Scouts. And then we have this.
The Department of State is committed to promoting the freedom, dignity, and equality of all people, including LGBTQI persons. Starting today, you are no longer required to submit medical certification if you wish to change the gender marker on your passport. You can simply select male or female on the application form. Even if the gender you identify with does not match the gender on your birth certificate or other documents. For the moment, only male or female gender markers are available. But I'm pleased to announce the department has begun moving toward adding a gender marker for non-binary, intersex, and gender non-conforming persons. The process of adding a gender marker is complex and will take time, but we are committed to getting this right. We will be coordinating with other government agencies to ensure as smooth a travel experience as possible for all U.S. citizens, regardless of their gender. We will provide updates and let you know when this new gender marker becomes available on our website, travel.state.gov.
Bill Koenig, righteous people are becoming worn out, almost numb to the daily bombardment of one aberration after another. And maybe Noah felt this way during his time, and he probably pleaded with people of his day to stop the madness. But where is this going?
Oh, Jan, obviously what we are all concerned about is where is it going with the children?
Yes,
I mean, what
yes.
they're doing with the young children, whether it's this gender confusion thing. There's going to be three divisive issues facing schools going into the fall. Number one is going to be what we've been talking about with the vaccine and mask mandates. Number two is the critical race theory. And number three is this transgenderism education. I mean, our church is in Loudoun County. It's been on the front page of newspapers throughout the country.
Yes,
it
has.
One of our church members has been on the front line. He said, I will not, as a Christian, go with this pronoun language you're going to be forcing on me because of my faith. You can't even begin to comprehend this, but I think that what really perplexes us more than anything else is what they're doing with the children. whether it's the transgender, LGBTQ education in the grade schools and elementary schools, and also this vaccine mask thing. Fauci mentioned that he wants kids 2 years old and plus to wear masks going into the new school year. That's our concern, Jan. I know it's yours as well.
And you've got Bill Wilson writing for you as a correspondent. And folks, when I say that, I mean for his e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. He has a couple of other correspondents that write for that. And let me just quote Bill here. It's headed Biden's War on Children. And Wilson says, the month of June was spent celebrating lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, questioning, and other non-traditional sexual orientations. White House Press Secretary Psaki capped off the month-long celebration with a live stream on the White House YouTube on transgender equality. The hour-and-a-half convening began with Psaki saying that President Biden believes that transgender rights are one of the most important civil rights movements of our lifetime. Oh, give me a break. They primarily target children. This is the words of Bill Wilson. The last letter in the LGBTQ is Q for questioning, which is the mission to confuse kids enough they question their sexuality so they can be groomed and be evangelized. That is so true, Bill. This is a war on children, and the Bible is very clear. If you're going to go after the children, God's going to have the last word on that.
Oh, absolutely, Jan. And I really sense the COVID is part of the judgment.
Okay, talk to me about that, please.
When we had a national shutdown last summer, we had every major sports league that favored the LGBT agenda that even took on states for their bathroom bills. When you think about Hollywood was shut down, we thought fashion was shut down, retail was shut down, all these areas that were so pro-LGBT, the COVID shut them down. And I don't know if they'll ever recover. You are absolutely right. Don't touch the children. This crosses the line. It is tragic to see what they're doing, and our God is going to respond even greater. This is judgment. This is a pattern of judgment. Everything about this fits the pattern of judgment. And I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it.
Bill, you and I referenced this in a previous recording. It might have been 2 to 3 months ago, because there's a call for unity. And we said back then, and things hadn't played out like they have now. Here we are heading into August 2021. But this call for unity, how do righteous people, how does the church have unity with absolute evil?
It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. I put a commentary together last November. It's the Democratic Party's platform and agenda that are in opposition to the Bible. I used 31 examples.
Go ahead, but I'm going to read a few of those examples.
Okay. The categories were no fear of God, LGBT and same-sex agenda, calling evil good, and climate. And those were the four main categories, Jan, that we focused on with Scripture.
Expound on that, Bill. This is important information.
No fear of God. They don't fear God as witnessed by their agenda, actions, policies, and words. Some show a hatred toward God and are proud and inventors of evil things. They have actively endorsed LGBT in government and public companies, forced it, the indoctrination in elementary schools and high schools through school boards and teacher unions. They strongly support same-sex marriage and celebrate the Pride Month. As Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those that call evil good and good evil.
Bill, this is what we get when we start calling evil good and celebrating the madness that's going on.
First runner-up is Centennial Hills, your Miss Nevada USA 2021, Silver State USA.
It is a historic moment in beauty pageants. 28-year-old Cataluna Enriquez beating out 21 other women to win the state title.
I have been waiting for this moment to happen, for this goal, and it's been my goal for almost 5 years, and I'm glad it finally came true. I did not give up.
Cataluna first competed in another state, trying to earn her way into the Miss USA competition, but says once pageant organizers there found out she was trans, she was treated differently, not given a roommate like other women in the pageant, and she had to have a doctor certify that she was female.
I often felt alone and misunderstood.
The road to the crown has not been an easy one. Cataluna started transitioning at 14, battling thoughts of suicide while finding herself.
I've struggled with physical and sexual abuse. I've struggled with mental health. I didn't have much growing up. I didn't have support, but I am still able to thrive, and I am still able to survive and become a trailblazer for many.
Cataluna wore a rainbow-colored gown she made herself. She says it's in honor of all of those who don't get a chance to spread their colors. Since winning a local title, Miss Silver State, earlier this year, she's been the target of hatred online and says trans women face adversity every day.
We're still in a time where people are being attacked, and trans women of color specifically are being murdered throughout the country and all over the world.
But by winning the crown, she is redefining what it means to be a woman and what it means to be beautiful.
I've learned to love myself, learned the beauty that's inside me, learned to use my voice and the power that I have. You are capable of anything as long as you believe in yourself.
Bill Koenig, this is where this insanity leads.
Yeah, unfortunately, our beliefs, our values have no consideration.
None.
Zero. And I feel for the confusion and the challenges that members of this community face. We're very compassionate about that. We are. But when they force their agenda on us,
yes,
try to affect every aspect of our life, this is wrong. Obviously, we are all imperfect. We're sinners, saved by grace. But this is a difficult time for our country because it's very disruptive. The three things I mentioned earlier, Jan, they are very disruptive. And who's the master of disruption?
Yes.
The enemy. So what's tragic, and what Bill mentioned in his quote there, is they are after the children, and this is horrible, and God will respond. We have the history. It's just going to happen that way.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markill, and I've spent the hour with Bill Koenig, and you've heard him on this program before, and at my conference activity. We've been talking about some sensitive issues because it's the direction that the new America is headed. It's not a good direction. Elections do have consequences. We talked about some of those things in the first part of the program. Bill, just one other domestic issue here, and I just want to touch foreign policy for a few minutes as well. You have indicated, and I've seen it online in some news broadcasts, that some folks aren't real happy with some Supreme Court nominees. Talk to me about it for a moment, because I would have to be among those who's quite disappointed.
There's some concern that Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh could have been stronger on some of the decisions that were made by the Supreme Court. Gorsuch, for the most part, has been pretty solid conservative. Obviously, there's some concern, possibly even on the Supreme Court level, especially with these three appointees of President Trump, that they are concerned about a packed court by adding more, by increasing to 11, possibly 14 justices. I'm hopeful and prayerful that that's not affecting their solid conservative history or background. I tell you, the Supreme Court has some enormous decisions going forward, Jan, just as some areas we discussed today. I just hope and pray that the conservative justices that were appointed during Trump's term will fully stand for their conservative biblical values.
Yes, indeed. Bill, I'm transitioning for just a moment or two here because both Israel and America lost good leaders in the last several months. We lost Donald Trump, who, even though some character qualities were questionable, his policies as it concerns conservative values were very helpful for the country. Then Israel has lost Benjamin Netanyahu. Talk to me for a moment here about, we have some parallels going on. You have to believe, since God raises up kings and takes them down, that God took down a couple of pretty good men who were in office and who were blessing their country. Are you optimistic or pessimistic when it comes to Israel's new leadership?
Well, I don't know how long that government will last, primarily because Naftali Bennett was very, very conservative, very staunch Zionist. He was the one that backed the full annexation of Area C, which is a lot of Judea and Samaria. He has developed a coalition that only has a one-person majority in the Knesset with four Arabs.
That's right.
Five. They're part of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's part of Israel's government today. And they're already even sitting out of some votes. And then he brought in some left-to-center parties and some centrist parties. That coalition, I don't know how long it'll last.
Okay.
I appreciate Bennett in many ways. He's a solid guy, very gifted guy, very entrepreneurial. But how do you legislate and run a country? I mean, the Knesset, as you know, in Israel, that parliamentary government in Israel is almost impossible times to legislate with. Just look at all those elections, Jan. Over four elections in the last couple of years.
Well, there could be a fifth coming up.
It could be a fifth. This government could collapse any day, but they're going to go ahead and push forward. I think it's next month that Bennett's going to come to Washington to meet with Biden. They're having some conversations. Only God knows what's ahead, Jan. It's a tenuous time to be the Prime Minister of Israel with the situation with Iran, Hezbollah, and everything else that's taking place in the Middle East.
Well, right, you just said tenuous time as it concerns Iran. Are we going to see the return of the Iranian nuclear deal that was brokered back 2014 and 15? It was an absolute nightmare. Donald Trump put the lid on it, and thank God, but now we're talking about reviving it. And Iran, with their new thug leader, would literally think nothing about dropping a nuclear bomb on Tel Aviv. For goodness sakes, is that coming back?
Well, they're certainly trying. They are really doing it. They're even to the point of releasing some of the sanctions on some of the leaders in Iran. But look who the Iranians just selected to president.
I know.
Liner, the butcher of Tehran.
Yes.
That alone just stopped the talking. This is ridiculous. I mean, what about the U.S. troops that are getting attacked right now with Iranian-backed radicals and terrorists inside of Iraq? Listen to the fact that they're getting very close to having everything they need for a nuclear weapon. The Iranians are master negotiators. You can't out-negotiate them. I've heard that from people, even Jewish friends of mine involved with the Israeli government. He said, you can't out-negotiate these people. They're masters of negotiation. And they know that. And they know how desperate the Biden administration is to get back to what Obama put in place. They know exactly what they're doing. They certainly aren't behaving as someone that would like to have that deal back in place. They're even being more spiteful than ever before.
Bill, the prophets of old longed to see the generation you and I live in. And the prophets of old, both Old and New Testament, longed to be able to see the signs that would indicate that the Lord is going to return any day, any minute, any hour here. And you and I are privileged to be in this generation. But did you ever think you would see the things line up as they are, including in the Middle East? I mean, what we're talking about is probably foreshadowing Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38-39 war. That's, we don't know when, but it's in the near future, I think. But did you ever think that you would be such a privileged person in this generation?
No, absolutely, Jan. And when you think about it, the fact, or let me put it this way, even the things we discussed today, some of these are very, very uncomfortable. Who would have ever thought? But the Bible says, as in the days of Noah.
That's right.
As in the days of Noah. And that's exactly what we're living. We are living as in the days of Noah and Lot. Everything is aligning. Everything's falling in place. You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I've never seen so many things in play at the same time that are happening so quickly, that are so significant, that in many ways is hard for all of us as watchmen to stay up with it. But as you mentioned, Jan, we are living in the most significant time of biblical history, and we're honored and privileged, despite the challenges, the difficulties of living in this time, blessed to be living in this day before the Lord's return.
Yes, the most informative, provocative time in history with the least amount of interest in the church, sadly.
Totally. Never thought we'd have a day like that.
You and I have ministered in the church, and we've seen it over the years. We've probably seen it over a couple of decades here. But again, the interest level in the church is next to nothing.
Absolutely. Again, we are living the most significant time in biblical history with the least amount of interest in what's taking place in the church, even to the point of apathy. It's hard for us to comprehend.
It's hard for us to comprehend. As a matter of fact, I can't wrap my brain around it, but I'm reminded every day as emails come in, and they do remind me. So it's a very real experience going on in the church today. If there's a pastor listening right now, and we're down to just a couple of minutes, Bill, but if you want to sum things up and you'd like to address a pastor right now, what would you say? And take a couple of minutes to do it.
It's time to really study what the Word has to say about the final days. We have the Scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, and even the most important, the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, and then also Revelation. We just went through Revelation again in our church, and it's just get a grasp of what's taking place prophetically and biblically. I know some churches are worried about focusing. It's not even a focus. Just keep people informed biblically. You don't have to do this week in, week out. Just keep people informed biblically and prophetically as a pastor. And I think there's no greater responsibility for a pastor, but I tell you, there's no greater blessing for those that are shepherds of the flock. And this is a very critical moment. Programs like Jan's and others that are prophetically strong and biblically strong, get up to date, follow what's going on, and give people a balanced perspective, and at the same time, hope of our Lord's return for us. and Jesus Christ's eventual thousand-year millennial reign on earth.
Yes, and I think that's the most important thing, Bill Koenig, is the fact that we have that wonderful blessed hope. But again, that is so marginalized and compromised in the church today, is they don't want to go down that path. But oh my goodness, what a glorious hope we have that's being kind of extinguished. And that's why I want to encourage pastors today to really take a second look at everything we've talked about today, but particularly about the hope that Jesus Christ is coming again, I believe, any day. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about Bill and his outreach, particularly now his web outreach, go to watch.org on the web, watch as in watchman, watch.org. Please check it out. Check out the books that he's written. Let me go out with just a real simple saying that I like to use now and then. Won't you look ahead and trust him? Won't you look around and serve him? Look back and thank him? But always, always look up and expect him. He's coming again, sooner rather than later. Could even be today. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Yes, our times are uncertain and the world has fundamentally changed. Because the hour is late, these changes are challenging, and the result is uncertainty and sometimes even fear. But God remains in control, and He is orchestrating it all so that everything will fall into place.